SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour two on this Wednesday, and look forward to this every year when we get fully into the Triple Crown and we get our first set of results, not just the Derby, Preakness and Belmont, but also Oaks winners and plenty of other pedigree notes and heroes from the breeding side. Go Sapper, for instance, had a very big weekend looking at both sides of pedigrees. But it is hard not to welcome Sid Fernando in and start the conversation by just hailing Scat Daddy, who not only gets his first classic winner in Justify, but he puts to bed another of those Derby maxims that people kept trotting out, that Stormcat Line couldn't get a classic winner. That one goes away with Apollo. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And just still so much to absorb out of this, Sid, and you keep layer after layer of stories that are involved, and we many times leading up to Derby mentioned what John and Tanya Gunther were enjoying in terms of their breeding expertise coming into focus and in the spotlight, and they come out the other side. It's really got to be gratifying. Looking forward to getting a hold of John and having him join us. But what a story it is from a breeding standpoint for Scat Daddy here with his, with his early premature passing, and still have one more chance next year with a set of 3 year olds.
Yeah, it's there's been a kind of a with his past, Steve. A lot of interest in trying to collect stallion sons of Scat Daddy. And there have been a few. Kumar, of course, has doubled. Caravaggio, No Name Ever. In Europe, mostly those turf horses. And there was a to get a horse. You could get a high-quality dirt horse, won the Kentucky Derby. That was a big prize. He had four in the race. Two of them, Justify and Mendelson, represented his best form, I guess. And Justify won it. And I'll tell you what, that horse is going to be worth major money. He's yet another huge in prospect, and of course Gunther's bred him, but Windstar has him, and third Derby winner, second Derby winner for Windstar as an owner. And, it's huge, really, in the bloodstock world.
Looking at the Stormcat side of this, because Scat Daddy is well removed, Sid. It's not just a son of Stormcat that, that got Justify. It's a son of a son of a son. I mean, Stormcat got Hennessy, who got Johannesburg, who got Scat Daddy. And
right.
It's a little bit, there's the added layers, the added introduction, whether it's the Mr. Prospector Mayor Love Style who got Scat Daddy and the Ogaijin Mayor Myth who got Johannesburg, there's a little bit more. I mean, you had Hawaii get Island Kitty who got Hennessy. And
yeah.
You talk so often about turf equating to stamina, and you know, right up there in the immediate sun of Stormcat Hennessy, you know, there was that influence, and not sure, you know, what melds in here. I mentioned Ghost Zapper as part of the weekend story. Ghost Zapper he was everywhere this weekend in the results, and of course is the sire of Stage Magic.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Ghost Zapper's broodmare sire was Fair Force as well, Relaunch. John Henry's rival. And, you know, it's just, it's a great, you know, to win the Derby, you need speed and stamina. Sometimes we get caught up, too caught up in analyzing just the stamina part of it. But this horse has, you know, a great combination of speed and stamina. And he's a physically imposing horse. He's got a great constitution. You know, he came around late. I texted Bob Baffert yesterday, and I asked him, when did he think this horse is good? And you know what he said? He said January.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, this horse really came to his attention fairly late when you think about it. But and that's January, and you think by that time the other Scat Daddy had already won the Bitter Sub Juvenile Turf. You know, it was a big gamble. It was a high stakes gamble for both Coolmore that purchased Mendelsohn for $3 million, and Windstar, the repercussions of the Derby win for these two horses would have been massive. And you know, now not only does Windstar have this horse, but there's a Scat Daddy Derby winner that's going to be on the market in a year or two. You know? It's just another example of, you know, American bloodstock really, it's really been flourishing over the last few years internationally as well, because Scat Daddy is an international stallion. And you know, he's gone to Chile for 3 years. His offspring in Europe are known for their speed, and now he's got a Derby winner in American America.
I mentioned, Sid, that I spent middle part of Saturday with John Secura, and you know, couldn't help but you know, ask him about the Derby thoughts and what else could happen for Curlin and Good Magic, you know, the second for him and for what it does for Curlin per se. You know, just further enhances what's already an impressive resume, and an audible, being the son of Into Mischief, that was a terrific effort by him. And
it really was.
Yeah, you know, I mean, under different circumstances, you know, who knows? And you, of course, again this year, helping identify a long-winded exotics candidate. You talked about Instilled Regard and Arch delivering a stayer, as he can do, and there was your superfecta.
That's right. I mean, a horse like Instilled Regard, I mean, he's by Arch, obviously, sire of Blaine and others. And importantly, from a Phipps family, good reward, persistently, Heavenly Prize, all grade one winners at 10 furlongs, right there in the immediate family. This horse had been a $1,050,000 two-year-old, a lot of money for an Arch two-year-old. And, you know, he just seemed
there's always a couple of those horses, as we know, that run on at the end. And he happened to do it at big numbers and obviously led to a major superfecta. You know, it was an interesting race, Steve, because I liked both Doro in this race. And in the Santa Anita Derby, I figured he was up against it, having to chase Justify. And I figured with the new rider, Victor, and a bigger field, he wouldn't have to do that. I was kind of disappointed that he used the same tactics even harder this time. But that colt is a good colt. I think he'll come back as well. Another really good stallion prospect, and he's going to go to Spencer into Mischief Stand. Of course, he's by Medaglia d'Oro. Billed as a really good crop in terms of the quality. And interestingly, you know, the top four were four of the six most expensive horses in the race. The only ones that were more expensive were Bolt, Doro at $630, and Mendelssohn at $3 million. If you take the six, you had four of those six actually fill the top four spots. It gets back to what we were talking about earlier. This year was really kind of the wealthy guys derby, you know, the expensive horse derby. And they kind of fit that, it resulted in that at the end.
It's a great point. Good Magic, $1 million, and Audible, $500,000. Justify, $500,000, and $1 million. $1,050,000 for Instilled Regard, and there's your super, absolutely. Yeah. And Sid, let's fold in as well the result from Friday, and this is a big result for when it comes to Monomoy Girls win and Tapazar.
It's a really good result. It's another one where, correct me if I'm wrong, but Hennessy plays on the bottom side this time. And I think she's out of a Henny Hughes mare, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's basically, you know, here's a cross of Tappet with Stormcast. And that was one of the crosses that established Tappet, if you recall his... His first crop winner, Hansen, was by Tappet out of a Stormcat mare. And from what I understand, this mare was actually purchased at the dam of Monomoy Girl to breed to Tappet, I mean to Hansen. But Hansen was subsequently sold overseas. So Dr. Hansen then bred the horse to Tappet's son, Tapazar, then sold the mare in foal, purchased by the Gallaghers, and Michael Hernan, the director of sales at Gainesway. And they're the co-breeders of Monomoy Girl because they purchased the mare in foal. And, you know, now Tapazar has a top filly, bred on that same cross that was so successful for his sire.
Interesting. There's a couple of names that, and I know we talked about Monomoy Girl quite a while ago, but in addition to the Henny Hughes mare, you're mentioning Dramette, the second dam, a daughter of Williamstown, the third dam, a daughter of Saratoga 6, and... Yeah. The fourth dam, a daughter of Smartin. I mean, that's a funny troika of stallions.
Yeah, and but you know what's interesting? It's an excellent mating in a lot of ways because Williamstown is a Seattle slew horse, and a lot of the good Tappet, of course, is a Seattle slew line horse, and some inbreeding on the bottom side has been successful with Tappet as well. So not only is there the cross, that very pleasant cross of Capet Stormcat working in this pedigree. But the bottom side with Seattle Flu, inbreeding Seattle Flu, is also another positive in this mating, one of several. So sometimes you can get an odd family with some odd sires, and, you know, it really works for it really works for that.
You know, and I'm looking at that second dam, Endless Parade, the Williamstown daughter. She was trained by Larry Jones, and it goes back. This is before Larry Jones was widely known, and
yeah.
It goes back to 2000. She was undefeated, 5-for-5, and that included a pair of wins. Early in the season at Prairie Meadows, she won the Goldfinch, which of course is run on opening day, and she won the Panther, and then disappeared. So she retired undefeated. She gets the dam, Dramette, who gets Monomoy Girl. Interesting. She was an Illinois bred Endless Parade.
Wow, that's interesting, huh?
Yeah, and never actually had a chance to race in Illinois, but she's been very productive. She got she's the dam of Drum Major, the nice Dynaformer Stakes winner that Dogwood had.
Yeah.
Huh. Very interesting.
I hadn't looked at that closely, but
that's interesting. Well, and Sid, you've also got in here with when it comes to Monomoy and Tapizar, the dam of Tapizar. This was Vern Winchell, and she was a modest winner. She won one race and four starts, and yet Winchell puts her in the broodmare band, and it kind of tells you a story a little bit about, you know, not and bred her to tap it. So I mean, she was fully overbred. Let's face it.
Who was the dam?
Winning Call, a deputy minister mare.
And who is the second dam? Is it
Call
Carol's
Now
Christmas
by Wild Again?
Is it the Carol's Christmas Family?
This is, well, now you're going to make me check. Yes, Carol's, yep,
yeah.
Third, yep,
well,
daughter of Carol's Christmas. Good job.
That's the family, Steve. What happened was this. Winchell's in the transition period after they'd retired Tappet the stud. They had a bunch of mares from that particular family, and they bred them to Tappet. And all those mares really clicked with Tappet. That's the family that also produced the Winchell, that good Tappet two-year-old filly. What was her name? The half to Patty O'Prado. You know, the good Tappet filly that
We just talked about her. This came up last week with Fun Prize.
Yeah, that's the family. That's
yes,
the same family, and that Tappet filly is the same family. There were a couple of Pulpits that did well in that family too. Pulpit Sire Tappet. That family really took off when they started breeding it to Tappet and Pulpit.
Amazing.
And so that was a really good. I did an article a long time ago on this family and how it's untappable.
Untappable.
Yeah. That how this family just exploded with the Winchells when they had, like you said, some of these old mirrors of Vern still sitting around, and they got new life when they were bred to the new stallions.
Amazing. And of course, that you mentioned Carol's Christmas, also the Dam of Olympio.
Right. And of course, that's Vern Winchell's horse. That's the horse who had the short tail, trained by Ron McAnally. And, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff that worked with that pedigree with Tappet. And, you know, it's an old family that came back.
It just goes to show you. I mean, there's plenty of places or plenty of breeders that might have culled a mare like that, but having a philosophy
I just got corrected. I just got corrected by Francis Karen on my text, listening to the program, and I was wrong. Olympia was not the Vern Winkler horse with the bobtail. That was Sea Cadet. Thank you, Francis. It was Sea Cadet that had the bobtail.
I love it. Good job.
Yeah.
Francis.
Well,
Francis.
And they're all over me when I make a mistake.
Well, and you're obviously doing everything today without any paper, without any.
I'm on the side of the road.
Exactly, I can tell. You're. Yeah. In fact, you could. Casey tells me you could have swung. You could have come through into the studio today.
Yeah, I had no idea he was in Pompano, right outside Pompano Beach. I just rode through it.
Absolutely.
I would have loved to have stopped by.
All right. Well, now you know. And if you're through there again, Sid, with a couple of minutes, I mentioned to everybody the passing of a very productive mare, and our friend Brian Burns, Mount Joy Stables, and of course Campaign Smooth Air.
Right.
But the Air France had a wonderful, wonderful career, and she had to be euthanized after complications. So she delivered a Bernardini, and
wow,
yeah, I gave some details, a little bit of her background. Felt terrible because, you know, Brian's had a lot of success over the years. The name's Jimmy, and Air France came along and was a very generous mare for him.
Yeah, what a producer. And when a smaller breeder has something like that, it's just, you know, the loss is tenfold.
And I'm just to give people an idea. In addition to getting Smooth Air with the mating from Smooth Jazz, I also noted that, considering her name came up with Cassie yesterday, the fourth place finisher in the Edgewood, who looks like she's got a big, big future going forward, got Stormy, her dam, Super Phoebe.
From the family?
That was the first foal before Smooth Air, and then got Smooth Air, and of course got Overdriven later on, that was
right.
Successfully campaigned by Mike Rapoli, and is...
At stud now.
Well, no, they took him out of stud duty at Ocala. He's actually in retraining.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
What, fertility?
Some issue, whether it was physical or fertility, but he abbreviated stud career. I think he maybe has three crops, and he's being retrained for either a show career or eventing or something along those lines.
Huh.
So that's
there's a piece of news. Yeah, I heard about
it. Yeah, no, I when I looked up today, came across that. We also said, turning our attention to Baltimore, and it doesn't seem like there's a huge group of horses that are going to challenge, but a couple of names that might be new to people, mentioning, of course, Vern Winchell and Son Ron. There's the Curlin Colt Tenfold showing up here. Quality Road is going to make an appearance with Diamond King for Cassius King. And I suppose the rest are all horses we've talked about. We haven't talked for a while about Sporting Chance, but he ran a very obscured good race in the Pat Day Mile.
He was fourth in that, and he changed his kind of style from coming way off it in that race. You know, instead of staying with the pace or stalking, he came from far back and ran a sneaky good race.
Very much.
Yeah. And he's another horse that's a valuable stallion prospect. There's a I think like a $575,000 yearling. Obviously, he's a G1 winner at two. By Tiz Now, big family. And I guess Lucas is going to run him with the Calumet horse. Bravazo that ran a good, decent, even race in the Derby. Lone Sailor, I heard, is going in there too.
He is. He is. I think Tom Amos is thinking that Justify may be vulnerable, and Lone Sailor, who wasn't at first, instantly being considered now is. And you know, being that he ran in the Louisiana Derby, why wouldn't you run 2 weeks later? Off that spread between the end of March and first Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that horse has much more speed in the mornings than you think, too.
Well, he had that crazy fast work going back 2 weeks before Derby, and the 57-4, the hard spun drill.
Right. Yeah. Keep in mind, some of these horses, speaking of hard spun, he ran second in the Derby, but then came back later to really establish himself, at 7 furlongs. And we saw this happen last year with Practical Joke. And keep in mind that there's some of these horses, after the classics, and they give them a shot here, are going to really, find another, find their métier, so to speak, at shorter distances. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, to see Audible eventually, do something like that as well.
Well, Sid, we will look forward, and we'll congratulate you once again for helping players. The number of people that slapped instilled regard into the bottom of their plays on your recommendation, and they were thrilled. More than I think there's at least four people I've heard of already, and from.
Yeah.
That caught the super for that with that push, and he was for him to be the longest shot on the board as a win candidate. Okay, we can see that, but different story when it comes to trying to find that elusive horse that's going to keep running and get somewhere late in the game, and in this case, just like Make Music for Me and countless others, he was the key.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well,
we'll try to come up with something else for the
patrons. Well, we'll talk next Wednesday. We'll come to you from Baltimore. Safe travel, Sid. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Steve. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
You got it. Sid Fernando, Work Thoroughbred Consultants. And, of course, we're now very late in the breeding season, but there's still going to be mares that are going to get covered here. Late season breeding, there's also potential for some deals. Maybe that's actually something we should slip in with Sid too. Some of the stallions may have had some cancellations, some things go wrong, and you may be able to get to a stallion that you didn't think you had a chance to get to. And that's worth discussing. But call Sid's office 510-490-1111. 510-490-1111. Work Thoroughbred Consultants. They'll do a broodmare compatibility scoring analysis for you and give you some ideas and work with you to get to the stallion you're looking for in whatever region you might be. And speaking of regionality, I should fold in a little end of the Derby coverage. We'll continue on with Triple Crown season, of course. But opportunity to acknowledge the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, Virginia Equine Alliance, and all helping make coverage of Triple Crown possible. The 2 weeks in Louisville, a week in Baltimore, and at least a week in New York. If there's a Triple Crown try,
We'll do at least a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks in New York as well. I want to also acknowledge the match series. In fact, Alan Foreman, very nice Q&A with Alan at Pollock Report. Thorograph, of course, everything you need to win. And Cole Ranch. And we have to get Steve on. You know, they're a full-service farm in Terrabella, perfectly situated for any kind of equine need, mare, foal, yearling care, breeding, starting, training, turnouts, you name it. Cole Ranch, get a hold of Steve Cole. Let's take a break. Elliot Walden joins us after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Right here, right now. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, bottom of hour two, another full day of conversation. Derby, hard not to be focused in that direction. And I actually, this visit with Elliot Walden, well overdue, because there's been any number of things that I've been looking forward to connecting with Elliot on, and including actually his association with Art Preston, the late Art Preston. And that topic, certainly when it comes to Triple Crown and Elliot's training portion of his career, a big part of the story, and his association and the success that he's enjoying as part of Windstar. And the Windstar business, you know, has gotten so big, has been so successful. Kenny Trout, and the in some cases evolving. I mean, there's been certain people come and then move on to other things, but Elliot Walden has really been the, you know, the face. I mean, it's got to be 15 years, and having the kind of success that Winstar has fashioned in all, you know, in all areas. I mean, whether it's the, you know, the stallion business and the commercial side of the business, as well as their own racing, and their own, you know, the horses that they take and win with on the racetrack. So this feels like, with Justify, really a lot of different things that have come together and kind of maybe reached a peak. And we'll see if that's the way Elliot sees it and Kenny Trout. And they're going to press forward and get to the Preakness next Saturday, a race that they have not won. One of the few things and certainly in this arena when it comes to Triple Crown. But Elliot Walden joins us from Winstar Farm, and congratulate him, Kenny Trout, the entire organization, and all the partners on a second Derby win to go with Super Savers Gold Trophy. Elliot, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
Elliot, there's the obvious question for you after your own successful training career that resulted in classic wins and much more. How do you digest this success when it comes to the farm and the business end? And how is it different than the pleasure you had winning big races as a trainer?
Well, you know, I get asked a lot whether I miss training, and one of the reasons that as a young boy I gravitated towards the racetrack was the action of the racetrack and the energy that the racetrack brought. You know, when you step into a racetrack, whether it's a backside or a frontside, you feel that game feel energy. And the farm never really kind of had that for me growing up, but I grew up on a 300-acre farm, and we had three or four stallions and 25 broodmares and prepped 20 yearlings to go to the sale. And you know, Winstar is just such a different animal that it's always, you have that game feel every day. There's always something going on because of the magnitude of what we're dealing with. And so I don't really miss training that much. We have that same excitement and energy here in the office and what's going on, and also get the opportunity. So I think from a standpoint of how does it feel any different to be involved on a management side versus a training side? I think, you know, I don't really feel a whole lot of difference. I think that, you know, I think if you are the trainer, you could probably make, or you can have a greater sense of maybe accomplishment for yourself. But from a on the management side, I have a greater sense of accomplishment for our team. You know, the ability to share it with so many people that have that same passion. And I'm not to say that a trainer is all about the trainer, because they obviously have a team too. And the team that they count on, you know, Bob has Jim Barnes and the riders and the grooms. It's really neat to share it with a lot of people. And we came back here after the Derby Sunday night. We had a farm party. Everybody showed up. I think it's the first time that everybody showed up to a party, because it's something we talk about. Hey, how can we get more people involved on some of these things we do on a, you know, kind of a encouragement type scale to for participatory responses from all the grooms and stuff. And a lot of times they're tired and they just want to go home. They don't really want to have a barbecue, or we'll get 50% or 60%. But Sunday night we got 100%. And I think it just shows you what the passion for winning the Kentucky Derby is for everyone.
From a business standpoint, and of course, Winstar was in its formative stages, and I
bring this up to you because we didn't get a chance. We tried to connect several weeks ago with the news of Art Preston's passing, and the Preston Wood portion of what then became Windstar. It felt to me like this was a unique circumstance for you, given your association with the Prestons.
Oh, definitely. You know, the whole Windstar story evolved out of the relationship with Art and Jack Preston. Bill Kasner and Kenny Trout both got to know Art and Jack when Victory Gallup was running, and so Kenny basically decision to get into the horse business on a big scale culminated out of a day at the races at Saratoga in 1999 when Victory Gallop beat Baron Zanos in the Whitney. That was his first time to Saratoga. He flew up for the day with his family, who were very young at the time. He kind of drove around Saratoga and he saw the families of three generations up there sharing experiences and having a good time. And then we went to the races and won, you know, the big race, and then went out to dinner, and Art and Jack Preston came alongside them and just mentored them. And I don't think at any point in time was there any discussion about the farm being bought at that time. It was more about just trying to recruit guys that might be interested in owning horses. And so they formed a syndicate to pinhook two-year-olds called Full Circle Racing. And that was the start of it. And then when Kenny decided that he wanted to get in a big way, he was looking at the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets as opportunities to maybe buy a sports franchise, and decided that he would take those resources and apply it to the horse business.
How about that? And what has gone on with Windstar, and you know, with your, I think your involvement started about 5 years later.
Now, it started kind of right there around 2000 when they bought the farm. They Kenny came to me and wanted to hire me as a private trainer, and so we did that for I did that for 5 years, and we didn't really have the success. We won a fair amount of races and batted about 20%, but we didn't have the horses that competed at the highest level that we do now, and so in 2005, you know, he basically came in and said that he liked to have me come back to the farm and help Doug Cawthon, and we'd hire the best trainers we could, and he felt like that could make it stronger for the farm. I felt like I got fired. He tells me I got a promotion, but we did that in 2005, and I prayed about that decision, and felt like that with my children were coming into their high school years, that it was something that afforded me the opportunity to be around them more in the wintertime instead of having to leave them for 4 months. And that was important to me. And I just felt like God was calling me to make that decision. I felt a real peace about it, even though it was a difficult transition at the time. But looking back now, what a blessing it was.
Well, for everybody involved and your expertise as a horseman and then the evolution to CEO, and being a CEO, it implies the business. And Windstar is an enormous business, Elliot, obviously. And it really felt that as we started the campaign toward Triple Crown, whether it was from the the side of commercial breeding and Bolt Doro, a Windstar product, or whether it was the horses that you were involved with, Audible and Justify and Quip, etc. It really felt like this 2018 season is, I don't want to call it a culmination because obviously, you know, things will keep going, but undoubtedly this is Windstar at its absolute peak, it seems, and hitting at all cylinders.
Oh, it is, and I mean we've had an incredible year, and you know we do look at the farm as a business, not to make money for Mr. Trout, but to make it sustainable is what we talk about here. We want this farm to be sustainable over the generations. Kenny's just turned 70, and his children are in their 20s now. They have a passion about the horse business. We didn't know if that was going to happen, but as it has happened through the experiences that they got in their teenage years at Saratoga and the Derby and other things, they've become excited and passionate about the business. So, you know, we really talk about sustainability around here instead of profitability. And it's really about just making sure that we keep the farm going for the 150 families that are provided a job here, and for Mr. Trout to have a lot of fun doing what he loves.
I didn't even include Noble Indy in that roster, but obviously a part of the story. And I would love for you to address the conglomerate concept that was heavily vested in this Derby and in so far in this season, Elliot. We saw the partnerships and coming together in the sales, and I don't mean the racing partnerships as much as I mean, you know, the teams of buyers that are sharing risk. And you're as much out front on this as anyone, as an organization. You've seen the evolution of, you know, the era of the homebred racing organization. You know, now we're in an era where there's fewer and fewer of those. You know, there's only so many Jannies and Phippses. Your thoughts about what we're seeing and how you think it either helps or at the same time, to some degree, considering criticisms, if it's hurting the industry at all.
You know, it's interesting. I've got a couple of thoughts. I mean, I've got a couple of responses on that somebody kind of emailed me yesterday and felt like it was hurting the industry. I'm not sure I see that, but I think, you know, I don't know what the precipice for that is. Is it, you know, I don't understand really what it has to do with other people racing horses, because I see with, say, a partnership is the ability to buy more horses. So, you know, instead of us buying 15 or 20 on our own, we're buying 30. So to me, that's a good thing for the breeders. Now, would China Horse Club go out and buy them on their own? Would they buy 15 and we would have bought 15? We would have gotten 30 anyway? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know that, you know, I do think that this business is about shared experiences. It's about there's an extreme cost to racing horses. That's why there's not more owners in the business. And so any way that we can provide experiences for people that are positive and reduce their liability, I think is a good thing. I see it on my travels to Australia. They have a lot of syndicates. They have people owning horses that you wouldn't believe own horses. Cab drivers, customs, people that work at customs at the airports own a piece of a horse. To me, that's what we need. We need to get more people involved, and I think we have good opportunities for that with West Point and, you know, Eclipse, and had formerly, you know, Dogwood did, and you know, a lot of them. Team Valor, there's many of them. Little Red Feather, there's a lot of opportunities to buy horses at a small level. But as far as the big guys go, I don't know if we can raise the price of horses and raise the income for the breeders. I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
Well, and in the when it comes to the racing syndicates, that's certainly a separate and I think wholly positive. It's also a breeding ground for people that then go out on their own and own. But you know, when you look at this Derby and you see seven of the 20 that fit this, you know, this super super team concept, whether it was Bob Edwards and Barbara Banky on Good Magic, and you know, and you guys with Mike Rapoli, and as well as you with China Horse Club and Starlight and Sal Cumin, you know, that's really the one that, you know, you look at Vinnie Viola and Mike Rapoli on Vino Rosso, Zayad with Kumar, Solomini. That's the one that
I think, like, what is there about that that is a negative?
I think the perception, and I think that this is one of those things, Elliot, that's going to have to, you know, just kind of play out in the marketplace. I think the idea that if those groups were buying individually, it would strengthen the middle market because it would push the top down.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that's possible. You know, like I said, I think you look at the thing, probably the way to look at it is to understand buying patterns over the last, take some history and really look at the data. I mean, if Mike Rapoli and Vinnie Viola get together and they go buy 25 yearlings because they're together, how many did Mike Rapoli buy on his own the last 4 years?
Right.
Six? Eight?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Yeah. You have to.
So, I mean, I think you can look and see. I think there's data out there to see it. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's interesting, though, because it is something that, you know, I think it's a unique year. I don't think, what I'm saying is, I don't see how it has any reflection on what Claiborne Farm does. In other words, if they breed a really good horse and they race a good horse, they're going to be in the Kentucky Derby. It has nothing to do with whether they're racing against a partnership or not.
Right.
It just happened that you know, you took, you know, we were blessed with riches of having, you know, four really good three-year-olds this year. That doesn't happen very often. We're just, I don't know what to say other than we were blessed. I mean, Justify is a horse that we've never had before, as much history as we've had here at Windstar and as many races as we've won. We've never had a horse, I think, as good as Justify. And we've had some really nice horses. But as Bob likes to say, breathes a different air. And, you know, it's just we've had the other horses too. But that's rare. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, we're just blessed with a great year.
Turn our attention to Justify and the task at hand, as well as Quip, who yesterday you confirmed as a Preakness runner, and excited for Rudolph Brissett to have the opportunity. You absolutely lauded him for coming to you before Derby and saying, yeah, we could run, but I think another couple of weeks will help him. Talk about Justify first and coming up to the Derby and all the different storylines that, you know, that seemingly were lined up against him, the inexperience factor, the, you know, the demands that it looked like he was going to have to win from pretty much exactly where he did. Your thoughts going in, and then the thoughts as the gates open.
Well, I wasn't crazy about the rain. I know he had won on it at Santa Anita, but, you know, when you have the favorite in a race, I think you want to minimize the variables you can't control. And that was one that, you know, walking across the track to go back for the walkover, it was a very sticky type racetrack. I mean, it was a hard racetrack to get through, and I thought that might be against him. When they broke and you see, you know, half the field kind of quarter horsing and slapping their horses on the shoulder and trying to get them up in a race, I mean, you did think that with the speed, with the slop, that it would create a faster pace than it would have otherwise. Because I think with a 20-horse field, you had horses that didn't want to get a lot of mud in their face, that you didn't want to, you know, get 10 horses throwing stuff at them. So you did have a lot of people riding away from the gate, which created a faster pace. When they went 22:45, I had reflections of Bodemeister in my head and Palace Malice, who are two very good horses. And quite honestly, I started watching Audible because I just didn't think Justify could sustain that. And And so I kind of picked Audible out in the field because he was mid-pack, and I thought that's where the winner would probably come from based on the pace scenario. And so then I kind of went back and forth with my binoculars. But I felt like Audible had a better chance at the 5/8 pole than Justify because of the fast pace. So it was an incredible performance. And, you know, the horse just Justify has the ability to run horses off their feet. I mean, they have a hard time working to keep up with him, and then he leaves them, and, you know, he kind of goes on, and they just get heartbroken. I mean, Bolt D'Oro had done it twice. The first time he really ran well in the Santa Anita Derby to get up to him and really challenge him, and then the other day I think he gave up a little quicker. Maybe it was the mud, but, you know, a very, very good horse in his own right, and he just – seems like Justify just breaks their hearts running with him. And, you know, so it was an incredible performance, and I thought Audible ran super to be third. Thought it was second.
And in fact, that came up earlier. We were talking about the Derby betting challenge winner who absolutely had to win that photo. I know you guys would have, a second would have been that much sweeter to run 1-2, but Patrick Bagui needed good magic in that photo. And you come out of this race with a, not just frankly with the Derby win, but given Scat Daddy and his early departure, Elliot, and then the obvious just monstrous success that he was enjoying, and this last crop of two-year-olds will be the final ones. From a stallion prospect standpoint, knowing that you're going to have the only classic-winning Scat Daddy son long-term, there has to be an absolute euphoria on that front.
It's been great with his just his ability, and to think about his pedigree as well. You know, he's a nice outcross to the Mr. Prospector line, which is interesting because he's a Scat Daddy. And then his mother's a Ghost Sapper. I think there's a little Mr. P on the bottom, but certainly you can come back to it, and also AP Indy. So you get a nice complement of the mare population to breed to. So that's down the line, and we're really excited about that as well.
Going toward Baltimore, some thoughts about what lies ahead, and I'd be remiss if we didn't address what transpired between Sunday and yesterday regarding the left hind, and your view of how that unfolded and where we stand today.
Well, my view on it is not to listen to social media. I mean, you know, as a former trainer, you know, you deal with little issues all the time. And, you know, we see that every day with horses. I mean, you know, with a farm of our magnitude, we've got 20 different problems we're dealing with every single day. So it didn't worry me any, but obviously, you know, the way that Bob brought him out, and then he was walking great in the shed, and then he comes out and he hits those rocks and doesn't want to put his heel down and wasn't sure if he did have a cracked heel there. You know, I think in the way it's played out over the last, 48 hours till yesterday, It happened to be more of a bruise on that heel than actually the cracked heel bugging him. So, you know, sometimes they can get a cracked heel from a bruise as well, because there's can be heat involved, and the heel is a place where that can be released. And so sometimes you get a crack in the heel. So I think that's all quieted down. He did have a little crack there on Sunday, but I think the main thing was that he had bruised the inside quarter of that heel and from the sloppy racetrack. And, you know, they didn't know it until he came out of the barn and hit the rocks. But everybody, I'm a little disappointed with how people rush to judgment on things, but rest assured, Bob and his team take extremely good care of these horses. So, that's all I can really say. I was over there Monday to look at him and see how he was progressing, and Jim Barnes is living and breathing with this horse. I mean, here's a guy who's been with four Derby winners, and he's almost in tears because he just feels for this horse so much, and cares for him so much, and felt the weight of it himself that somehow he could have been involved, blamed for it. So, it's just crazy. But as far as going to the Preakness, he's going back to the track tomorrow. Everything looks like it's quieted down. The bruise has subsided. He's bearing full weight on that foot. We'll see how he trains. With my trainer hat experience, you just take it day to day. But I feel good that it's behind him.
Looking to Baltimore next week, fold in what the quip equation was and deciding whether you wanted to run a second horse in the race, knowing that the stakes involved with Justify.
Well, we really made that decision before the Derby, and wanted to make it before the Derby because of not wanting to make an emotional decision after the Derby. And I think that from a standpoint of, I've been blessed to be involved with some Triple Crown runs, with Victory Gallop against Real Quiet, and actually Menifee against Charismatic, and then, from a management standpoint, we had Creator win the Belmont. I think that was the year of California Chrome. So, the build up is tremendous, but I would just say this about the fact of running Quip. We had decided that we were probably going to run him before when we decided not to run him in the Derby. And we said to ourselves, if we win the Kentucky Derby with Audible or Justify, will we still run him? And I posed that to our owners and owner group, and basically kind of led them down a path of that we should. And the reason I say that is because I think if Justify or anybody else is going to be a Triple Crown winner, it's not going to be manipulated. It's going to be dictated by the horse. The horse is going to not let anybody beat him. So, Quip deserves to be managed in the way that it's best for Quip, and that was to skip the Derby and give him the 5 weeks into the Preakness. And so that's what we decided to do. And, if Justify beats him, great. If Quip beats Justify, then Justify is not going to be a Triple Crown winner. He wasn't going to win it anyway. He wasn't going to win the Belmont either. You can't just, if you spend your whole time trying to manipulate those things, I think you're going to waste a lot of energy and a lot of time.
Well, you don't get to be this successful as an organization in the game, wasting too much time. There may be the occasional blind alley, but for the most part, WinStar always moving forward. On that front too, Elliot, I'd love for you to acknowledge the people who had their hands on Justify, and not just Justify, but when you've got this many horses making an impact on the road to the Derby and then in the Derby, mention the names that horse players and fans don't hear as often, on the farm and those that help these horses get to where they've already gotten and where they may be going.
Well, we've got 150 strong here at the farm, and the few people that I'll take time to mention, although I could mention all 150 because that's the way we feel about it. But David Hanley is our general manager, previous trainer experience. He trained in Ireland on the Curra a wonderful horseman, was an equestrian rider for the Irish national team as well. And he came over here and has trained some, and also pin-hooked some horses successfully for a number of years. And we brought him on in 2011 and or 12, right in there. And then he became general manager when Chris Baker left to go to Three Chimneys. He's a great friend of mine. We work really well together. He's got a great eye for a horse, and he really helps us at the sales. He helps us with our young horses, with the development of our young horses. He has an eye for a horse, but he also can see issues. He has an incredible way to see a horse in a way that not a lot of people see him. Sean Tugel helps us a great deal, helps me a great deal, helps me with racing. You know, he's been helping me with our racing stable for the last couple years, and he's grown up through the farm, was an assistant over at the training center to Richard Budge for a while, went over to the Stallion Barn, worked with Larry McGinnis, our stallion manager, and worked through there, and now he's come into Bloodstock and has a bright future, and he's helping us with our not only with our racing stable, but also with our stallion seasons. A lot of people like him, and he does a super job with that as well. Our vet here, Dr. Natanya Neiman, is been here for 20 years. Basically was her first job and her only job out of vet school. And she's grown with the farm. She's married to Mike McMahon, who's an agent and does well. But she's been here and bled Windstar from the start, as well as Donnie Preston and Larry McGinnis. And Jeff Danford is our broodmare manager, who does a super job as well. So we got, I mean, I could go on and on. That's what makes Windstar special, is the commitment from so many that just, you know, give it their best every day. And it's exciting to see.
Well, Elliot, just an embarrassment of riches, as the saying goes, and the good people that are obviously behind the operation at all levels, the commercial side, the racing side, and the fruits of everybody's labor, obviously everybody pulling in the same direction to see the kinds of success that is being authored. So continued good luck the next 10 days getting to Baltimore. This is the toughest turnaround there is in all of sports, and we're looking forward to seeing what happens when we get to Pimlico.
We are too, Steve. Thank you so much.
Elliot Walden and Windstar Farm. There's a breadth of areas, obviously, we could continue to touch on. They just had some nice success with some of the younger stallions, OBS, and we'll look, keep an eye on them as well when we go to Timonium next week. The Timonium sale breeze up portion before Preakness next week, and then the sale afterward. But Justify and Quip will take the stage on the Windstar front at Pimlico a week from Saturday. Let's take a break, and we'll keep Churchill. We appreciate Elliot's extended visit and time. We'll talk to Marty McGee next, and Marty on hand at Churchill. Tomorrow, half of that Pick Six carryover is going to be distributed. And nice sequence, races 3 through 8. So we'll look at that with Marty, and we'll get whatever else he's got from the backstretch as well, and get his Derby Oaks weekend summary. Marty McGee joins us next. We got John White as well, and Seth Merrow to get to this morning. Stay with us full day again. I'm telling you, these Derby Oaks follow-ups, there's too much. There's so many other things I want to get to, and other people. I mean, I'd love to get to the ownership side on Monomoy. Michael Dubb and Mike Caruso, and that set, and even the smaller undercard races, we had it's too much, it's too big. Derby's too big, but there's no way to trim it down. I don't think that's the problem. Back after this, Marty McGee.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Horseshoes.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseshoes.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseshoes.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseshoes.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by 5.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive, and the Cartery flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.